a big battle there. The Lord's people looked like they were going to lose. God brings help, and help that they didn't have on their own. And the last group of the describes the people coming to sing. You know, if you keep reading, it was God's people praising Him that helped God's people in the battle very much. And I find that to be true, that when we thank God for who He is, praise Him for all He's done, then the problems that we have and the enemies that we feel like, oh, they're going to overrun us, they're not so big because we know how great God is when we praise Him. So this is a great life-changing story. And caught my attention as Bill read there, they went out to face the enemy. And sometimes you have to face the problem, name the problem, and then you'll know how God's help can be with you in that. I never want a victory running away from a problem. When it would just follow me, you know, because half of the problem was in my heart, so I couldn't get rid of that. But there's a story of a Christian from Europe who was watching a football game for the first time, an American football game, and the U.S. Air Force Academy was playing a college from Europe. They were having this game. The U.S. Air Force Academy is a very good football school, Division I competition and so forth. And the Air Force crushed the team from Europe very soundly. And the guy who was watching it for the first time was curious about everything that was happening, particularly about the cheerleaders that were on the sidelines, okay, because he had never seen cheerleaders before. Apparently they don't have them at European soccer games. They'd probably get run over by the crowd who gets too intense. But on the field, of course, there was hitting helmets and bodies bouncing all over the place, pounding shoulder pads. And then on the sidelines, there's 10 gals with no equipment whatsoever and holding some shakers, you know, and trying to influence the outcome of the game. And he knows they kept repeating a cheer that was a big deal to him. You can do it. You can do it. You can. All right? And this was to inspire the team. But their team happened to be losing 37-3. And they continued to say, you can do it. You can do it. You can. You can. And the man watching the game thought, you know, I'm waiting for the players to look back at the cheerleaders and say, we can't do it. No, we can't do it. And so that was a problem. And when God's people were going to be attacked here, the odds against them was much greater than 37-3. The king, Jehoshaphat, was told a vast army was coming against him. Apparently at least three tribes were made an axis power, you might say, and went to attack God's people. And the king was afraid, he was alarmed, and he was fearful. So this is a normal reaction to things that are bigger than us. So if you have those qualities, don't think, oh, God's not going to work in my soul because of these things. Sometimes we have to get fearful and anxious before we know that God will help us. And so Jehoshaphat prays to God. He says, we have no power to face this vast army coming against us, and we don't know what to do. Two good, really good parts of that prayer that we can incorporate into our relationship with God. We don't know what to do. That's why we're talking to you, Lord. And number two, we don't have any power by ourselves. We need power from God to face what we're facing. So Jehoshaphat's chant was, we need help, we need help. Lord, help us, Lord, help us. And Jehoshaphat was no chicken about his being afraid. Okay, someone said, being courageous is taking action. It's taking action when you're afraid. It doesn't take any courage to take action when you're not afraid. Okay, that's no courage there. But he has courage to take the right action, which is turning to God and asking other people to do so also. And Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord, what it says there in verse 3. First, he would do that in his own soul. I need God's help. I don't know what to do. And then the people turned and asked for God's help. Okay, they sought the Lord too. And then all the cities came together to seek the Lord. So you have this picture of like a big wave of gathering. First the one person. Then the people come. And then the cities from the outlying areas, they all come and they know we need God's help. It's a good model for praying to God. You know, individuals praying to God is good, but when you pray with your friend, that's better. When you pray with your Sunday school class, it's better. When you pray for your church, that's even better. Okay, gathering all the people to seek God, everybody knew they needed help. I've seen this happen in people's lives, and it's a wonderful thing. Okay, when God's people gather to pray. And I think God wants us to, invites us to want to gather to pray as much as He wants us to gather to sing or hear a sermon or hear the Word of God. That's very important. But gathering to pray, just as important. And most of the time, when new life was given to God's people, it was because they were looking to God and saying, we need your help. So group prayer is a big deal in the Bible. I've seen this in hospital rooms. When a loved one is going through a do-or-die surgery, okay, and the staff knows this, they call the family and say, better tell everybody if you want to be with your family member, please do that because we don't know if the surgery is going to work, and we don't know if they're going to be, still have life after the surgery, or maybe paralyzed or whatever the case may be. And the brothers come, the sisters come, the children come, the grandchildren come. They all get together in the room. See, and sometimes I've seen it where they all will hold hands, and if they are comfortable praying out loud, maybe everybody prays out loud. And I remember as a Christian thinking, well, I don't know if I should pray out loud. You know, the biggest hindrance to praying out loud sometimes is people say, I'll feel stupid, or I'll look stupid praying out loud, or I'll sound stupid. Sometimes you sound stupid being silent. Okay, that's when you look stupid. If you're going to think, well, everybody was praying, but I decided not to pray. You can pray out loud. It's not going to kill you. Okay, it honors God. Help somebody else pray with you. Praying silently is very, very good too. So when that happens, it's a powerful thing. The family gets, boy, they feel like they could trust God. The guy going for the surgery, he feels like, oh, these people, they all love me, you know, he has more peace going into the surgery than he did before. So God works when the people pray. You can do this as God's people. You know, start with the people nearest to you. Start with other times. It's a ministry, unfortunately, a wonderful ministry, usually at the bottom of the list of participation, but it could be at the top of the list. Make it the top of the list for you. You know, God did that. Tonight is a good place to start. You might as well start tonight. Lord, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. That's what Jehoshaphat said. And when you think of your own troubles and problems, this is a prayer you could pray. I don't know what to do. My eyes are on you. There's enemies coming against me. Here's my enemies. My sin, that's my biggest enemy. I can't stop sinning without God's intervention. He has to help me repent. My sin, my troubles, and the evil in the world. Too many foes for me. I need God's help. Don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. And our problems are really an opportunity to turn to the Lord. We have a family problem. Don't know what to do. But I'm going to turn to God. Because I know if there's going to be any help, it's going to come from Him. I have a sin problem. Don't know what to do. I will turn to Christ. He's greater than my sin. His power is greater than the sin in my life. He will help. Out of money, what am I going to do? Turn to God. Most of my family and friends, they're not interested in Christ. They don't follow God. I don't know what to do. I'll turn to God. I'll pray for them. And again, one preacher said, a problem named is a problem solved. This is what aches my soul. And you say that before God. Lord, this aches my soul, this vast army. And we begin to know God's help. And so Jehoshaphat prays. He says, O Lord in heaven. That sounds familiar. Our Father in heaven. O Lord in heaven. And then he says, Lord, you're the King of kings. And you rule over all the nations. So he thinks of his own people. He thinks of the nations coming. Lord, you rule over these kingdoms. We look at the world around us. Oh, Lord, you know, trouble, ache for our nation. Lord, you're Lord over the U.S. Ache about the other nations. Lord, you rule over Russia, Iran, ISIS. Oh, they want to be a nation? Okay. Lord will rule over you too. Okay. The Lord rules over all nations. So Jehoshaphat starts to get more trust in God when he remembers God. And Lord, you meet our needs. You fill our songs and you fight our battles. That's kind of the internal change that took place in him. And I found this helpful, again, in life's troubles. Turn to God and remember his greatness. That doesn't mean all battles will stop. Just wanted to let you know. You know, as a Christian, sometimes you're going to have problems before you knew Christ. There'll be the same problems after you receive Christ, and there'll be your same problems when you're 90 and have followed Christ for 70 years. The problems won't go away. So don't freak out if you still have them. But you could say, oh, now I know God better, and now I know his strength can help me walk through this difficulty. And it doesn't hold me back from him like it used to. It might pain your soul in a greater way, because you have a greater capacity for love and faith. But God can carry you through deep times that continue to happen. And you think of who Jesus is on your behalf and my behalf, taking the wrath of God on the cross, expressing God's love, crushing the devil's head. Did Jesus crush the devil's head? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, so there's a defeated enemy out there. I get it. Jesus rises from the dead, ascends to heaven, has the keys of life and death. So we remember the Lord, and we know his goodness. And Jehoshaphat prays with confidence. He says at the end, you will hear us and save us. One preacher said, evil doesn't stand a chance against the Lord. That's what we have to know, the reality of that. The evil is the guy, is the team with the 3 points. And the 3 points are very yuck. But the Lord's the one with the, not the 37 points, the 10 trillion. Okay, get that reality of who God is in the terrible world that we feel is there, but the greatness of God outshines that. So Jehoshaphat, great example of how to turn to God. You and I could do the same. Echoes of the Apostle Paul in the way Jehoshaphat handled his need to see power, the power of God. And he just wasn't power hungry. He was wanting this so people would be rescued. Paul said, we're hard-pressed but not crushed. So you're hard-pressed. We're confused, but not in despair. We get confused. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. All the persecuted church, they say, we're persecuted, but we are not abandoned. And we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're clay jars, Paul said, so that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We can have that. God's power is made known in our weakness. And again, I find this in my own life, where the areas of my life that I'm totally, like, barely following Jesus, his strength carries me along, and actually they turn out to be some of the more effective areas in my life. I can't explain that one. The things I think, I'm really good at that, that's no problem. Family life, yeah, I got that down. That's when I'm setting myself up for the biggest headaches and heartaches. Because I thought, this is a piece of cake. You can't be effective without the Lord. And just to close up with Jehoshaphat, the whole battle takes place. God, of course, defeats the enemy, and they leave behind all their stuff. And it took God's people 3 days to gather up all the resources that were left behind by the enemy. It'd be great to see that picture, you know, that just a day later, previous, they were thinking, we're going to get killed, you know, we're going to die. What are we going to do? Seek the Lord, praise Him, of course. But now it's taken us 3 days to count our blessings. That's a huge change around. It reminds you maybe of the story of the little boy given 2 loaves, 5 fish down in downtown. There's a sign, 2 plus 5 equals 5,000 in terms of feeding. And there was stuff left over. Oh, there was more than we needed with the Lord. And Jehoshaphat was feeling how great God is. So the Lord will fight for us. He will fight the sin. He will fight for us if we're afraid. He will fight for us if we feel like we don't belong or we're a little bit, you know, Israel didn't belong. They said, get them out of here. But God came. And because the promise, again, Old Testament, God will be our God. God's people will be our people. And we can see our good friend Jehoshaphat, how he walked with God. He's a little older than us. We can learn from him and trust God the same way. Let's pray together. Lord, just a quiet time of praying. Vast armies come against our soul. I think of just a sin problem, maybe hard to trust you problem, feel let down by God problem, whatever the vast army is, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. This is your battle to win. So hear our prayers. And any ache in our soul, Lord, maybe anxiousness, needing physical rest, needing spiritual refreshment, we'll wear out spiritually as faster than physically, most of us. And so go against this vast army if we're fatigued. Or maybe we have regret about the past, or even regret about how we followed you. Oh, this is a vast army, Jesus, you would take care of, and you would say, well, today is a day of salvation, and now is the time to follow the Lord. So make it a wonderful day, Lord, between you and your dear people. Hear our silent prayers.